Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
Get hauling with a Big Max trailer from Mills Fleet Farm. The 4x8 wood-sided utility trailer is $599.99. Building a fence or deck? Use Pro Wood Treated Lumber. It's preferred by contractors and is on sale. Carlisle Radio Trail RH trailer tires are heat resistant and have a long tread life. They're 10% off. And power up your DeWalt tools with the DeWalt 18-volt XRP battery twin pack. $99 at Mills Fleet Farm.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, welcome, gang. You know how this works. You can't possibly be new to this.
I'm not nude.
No, you're not nude.
But you got a haircut.
I do. I look good tonight, pal.
You do, buddy.
I look good. Zepper, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good. Rocking and rolling.
Good week. How was the motorcycle riding this week?
I didn't get out of the motorcycle.
Oh, Christ, you're good. That's your whole life, man.
I know.
Motorcycle and women.
Beautiful day, though, huh, boys?
Great day. I shot my second round of golf today. Shot an 83 at Lake Phelan, which is pretty good, actually, for me.
Yeah? Yeah.
Not a hard course, but it was a lot of fun. But
did you guys hear what my old man did this morning?
I heard it from you, but I don't believe it until I see
we
it.
We should tell the listeners, I think.
Well, I tell you what, for our listeners out there, Vaughn, my pops who makes almost every broadcast, is not in studio tonight because we've been out the last 5 days on the Minnesota-South Dakota border, which we'll talk about in the Lake Report. Plus, in the Lake Report tonight, we're going to talk about crappies, because with these warm temps, crappies are going to start spawning. But the old man apparently shot a 28.5-pound, 2-inch spur, 11-inch beard Tom. And if all these facts come true, it will be top 5 ranking turkey ever shot in the state of Minnesota.
Wow. Attaboy, Vaughn. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so the old man left me a voicemail this morning, and I'll replay it for you guys, and he was actually, I could hear him in tears, you know, 73-year-old man, and it was pretty special. So we'll have more about the fishing and the lake report later and Dad's hunting, but a special voicemail to get this morning.
An old turkey shooting a young turkey. Well, that's a hell of a story, man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What'd you do this week, Stru?
I had a great one. I'll tell you what, my highlight is, like, look who's in studio here, pal.
There she is, Diana.
Are you going to put her on air?
I said she should be our guest host
today. I want to say, for the record, Stru definitely married up in life.
Yeah, I did. Punitive is coverage.
I got very lucky. Yes. She put up a mid. I'll tell you what, but my highlight of the last week, I think, was Saturday or Friday or Saturday. We went to our place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, where we had an opportunity to go last year.
Yep.
And Sunday was such a gorgeous day. Got the pontoon all set, cleaned it all up. Everything's all taken care of. Diana's working in her garden. We took our maiden voyage around the chain with no fishing rods on Lake Chautauqua in Prairie Lake, and did that at 12 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, I started watching the Minnesota Wild, which was fun.
Yeah.
And then we snuck to the Turtle Lake Casino about 35 minutes away, listened to the game, the second period on the way there, and then got to watch the entire third period of the Minnesota Wild on a huge screen, which was a lot of fun. And then right after that, at 5 o'clock, we had a dinner show and watched a group called the Britons, Beatles tribute band, which were phenomenal. So it was a great, great day. Got up Monday morning, came back, and went to work, but very, very blessed.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I had the opportunity to go fishing that morning, then come into the resort there at Wing and Fin, watch the Wild, kick some ass, baby.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then go back out and do some awesome walleye fishing. Hey, so do we got a chance against the Blackhawks, boys? What's the deal?
Yeah, we got a chance. I mean, this is a better road team than it was last year. We're better in the net than we were last year. You know, I wouldn't say we're necessarily any faster, but we're as fast as the Blackhawks. Yeah, I think they got a better chance this year than they had last year, and they had a chance last year, I think, to beat them. Yeah,
and we got a goalie now.
It'd be nice to get one in Chicago, you know, there right away before we get home on Tuesday.
We got a doobie.
Yeah, we got a doobie.
We got
the doober.
Sergeant Greenleaf.
You know, he has a bad day at the office every once in a while, but...
when you were there?
Like last Wednesday.
Now,
I should have stayed. I would have had more fun at the show. We did have a Blues fan sitting right behind us who wasn't overly obnoxious, but obviously he was pretty excited in the first couple of goals. By that fifth goal, he wasn't saying a word. when they scored the 6-1, he just quietly got up and left.
Strew, usually every week you drive down to Iowa, you visit the 93-year-old pilot that fly over Iwo Jima, or you climb Mount Helena or something like that.
No.
Crazy adventures for the Strew man this week.
Boy, now Zipper
is speechless right now. You see the look on his face.
I'm trying to be able to describe this without getting in trouble, but Diana's here and she's nice, so I have to be careful. No, that was about it, I think. And I worked a lot and tried to make a buck or two. I played around at golf and grandkid things. I just came right now from one of my grandkids helping her with. She's taking some pitching classes from a guy who's volunteering her time and his time. So being able to do that, we have a couple of communions coming up. We have 10 grandkids. We're busier than hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so that's been a lot of fun. But you know, they're very, very busy.
Speaking of busy, guys, we got some crazy stuff going on here in the Minnesota outdoor world. We got Fishing Opener coming up here in a couple weeks on May 9th. I'll be up there with the governor on Vermilion. A lot of controversy. I know we're going to touch base on it tonight with the whole moose tagging, and should we be doing it? Are we pulling funds away from it?
Well, Governor Dayton's got this one figured out. He's going to go up there and personally save. What they need is better education, I think.
I mean, who are our
more
guests
money.
Tonight, guys?
Well,
what do we got?
Sean Perridge from up north he's with Northern Wilds Media, and he does books, he does graphics, he does a lot of outdoor. He kayaks, he hunts, he fishes. He's been doing it for many, many years. He's a big outdoor news writer as well. So he contributes regularly almost every week. So I read him all the time. Got a hold of him because he, a week ago, said, listen, it might be time to pull the plug on this moose thing. So I said, let's get him on and start talking about it. Well, just yesterday they pulled the plug on the moose thing. But I still want to hear what Sean has to hear about it, what we can do to make that change.
Okay.
He's big. He's going to be on. We have a young man named Mike Klobe, K-L-O-B-E, 17-year-old kid. He's from St. Francis. And he's been fishing and hunting his entire life. He's got some great stories. He just emailed me a number of them. But he thinks, and I guess this is actually valid, he caught the state record sturgeon last weekend up on Rainy River where you were.
Yeah.
And of course, he released it. We'll talk about that. And then we have a young man named John Koch, Cox, K-O-X, no, C-O-X, who is from Ontario. And he's got the most unusual story you're ever going to hear when someone interacts with the wild. And I was hoping that Zep would have the Benny Hill music for this thing because
I failed on many levels.
What happened with this guy? Yeah. If I'm telling us like a tease, you have to stick around and listen to this John Cox story because it's one hell of a story, and none of us want it to happen to us. That's for sure.
And I think our first guest calling tonight, if listeners are just grabbing into listening to us on 105 The Ticket, don't forget to follow us at facebook.com/ The Ticket Outdoors. A lot of folks right now are probably rolling up the garage doors, taking the tarps off their fishing boats, and trying to do some 101 quick maintenance, get that boat ready for Fishing Opener. We're going to have Dan Chesky on from Dan's Southside Marine for what, first 15 minutes from 7:15 to 7:30, and he's going to talk about getting our boats ready for Fishing Opener. So hopefully
Boomer's putting his lipstick on so he can kiss Dan Chesky's ass because he's got that T-Pro 95 boat. Hey, I'll tell you what, something else happened just recently. I got a call yesterday from Craig Lindstrom, and Craig Lindstrom was the young one of the men who was with Brandon Johnson and all.
Yes.
And he said, I just want to kind of give you guys an update as to what's happening with Brandon. By coincidence, Diana gives us some bear stew right now, which was wonderful, but got that from a friend in Chautauqua. But Craig reminded me, he says, I'm taking you, Strew Man, bear hunting in August. I'll do all the baiting. I'm going to take you up there I'm going to go up there in August and I'll either videotape my son Mike shooting it, or I'll shoot it myself.
You got to do it.
You got to buy your license.
We'll figure this out. Anyway,
soon.
There's no game wardens up there.
Two days ago.
Hell, this guy was almost dead in the woods for 3 years. There was 3 hours. There's no game wardens up there.
Slip across the border and nab one.
But anyway, he gave me an update on what was happening with Brandon Johnson. Brandon Johnson is probably about 25% in his left arm and left shoulder, all right?
Yeah.
And he had to have surgery done again on his shoulder to help manipulate that a little bit to get more movement in it. But now, since everything's all screwed up down here, he has to have each one of his fingers stripped, apparently, and get rid of the calcium around all the joints all the way up his arm because he can't move his fingers at all.
Wow.
So that's the next surgery Brandon's going through. And they anticipate that'll help maybe another 10-20% or so. But he said his spirits are good.
Holy gosh almighty. I know. Look at that.
Oh, we got...
Look at that monster. I'm talking about Mike Morris.
Yeah. Superstar Mike.
Superstar. Did you just shoot a 12-foot crocodile?
Is this your sis?
She's
and I'm sorry, what's her name again?
Michelle.
Michelle. This is Michelle. And Superstar, you brought this in. This is one of those, what was that, Lake Placid? About that monster alligator. It was a fictional movie.
Yeah.
Let's see that beast. Is that the mechanical one they used? Well, how long is that thing? Probably 15 feet long.
Yeah, 1,000 pounds.
Its head is like the size of Mike Morris's torso. Like,
by the way,
it's like a Volkswagen.
I don't think we've ever mentioned
God.
That's an alligator or a crocodile. Which one is that?
I don't care what you call it. That's a big mother.
That's a shrew. You're like a morsel for that thing.
Your sister shot that?
That's her. She shoots everything.
You would get caught in that thing's teeth, shrew. It'd be like, you'd have to get a little alligator toothpick out to get you out.
Your sister's got nice feet.
You know what we're going
to... I have a foot fetish. Is that okay?
For our listeners, Mike Morris just walked in, and you're going to have to follow us on Facebook.com/theticketoutdoors because his sister has about, what do you guys think, a 12-foot croc?
No, he said 15. That's all of 15 feet. I've seen a 12-footer mounted, and that one's got to be all of 15.
Questions, Ep. So we're sitting there in the woods. Let's pretend we're in Louisiana on the bayou.
Right.
How about let's change it up, Zep. We're duck hunting down in Louisiana. A little more realistic.
I'm ready.
One more second. Mike, you're going to get her on the air, right? You'll get her on the air. Thanks a lot, my friend.
12-gauge shotgun. Yeah, we're sitting there in the blind.
Take care. Thanks for stopping by.
Superstar. Thank you, Superstar.
Sun's coming.
Wow.
Sun's coming up, and we see a 15-foot croc. Would you shoot at it?
If it's
coming at us.
Yeah, absolutely, I would shoot at it over my shoulder as I was running away.
I wonder how fast they can go on the ground.
You know, I went out for a hog hunt many years ago. I know we're out of time, of course, but I went to a hog hunt down in southern Georgia. We actually flew into Jacksonville, and we're going to hunt some quail and some hogs down there in southern Georgia around the, I think, Brunswick area is where we were, just 28 miles inland on the Scintilla River. We're right there on the bank, and we hunted swamp country. And you put your waders on and you went hunting and you saw alligators in the ditches down there. Everybody had an alligator mounted. I thought they were protected. He's like, you kidding? There's more alligators than rats around here.
Yeah.
And so anyway, all these alligators all over the place. And then we go into the swamps hunting. Do you know what's in swamps? It's trees that have been knocked over.
By alligators.
Every time your leg brushes a branch.
Oh, boy.
Every time you see a tree that's about 2 inches under the water, it looks like a flipping alligator. I ended up crawling up on a tree. I was about 6 feet above the water, and I sat there for the entire afternoon until I heard him shoot a couple of times, and then we came back in.
Oh, boy. No
fun. He said, that was the hunt. I said, well, no hogs swam up to me, but that was the most unnerving thing being out there. And those were, 5 footers, 6 footers. That was the one where the doc had it mounted. Somebody hit it on the road, so they let him, whatever their version of the DNR is in Georgia, they let him keep it. He's the local doc, and he had that mounted at 12 feet in that thing. I said, those things are out there. He goes, well, somewhere. Have a good hunt tomorrow, fellas.
Yep.
On a swear to my mother's note, I had that happen to me about 7 years ago when I was hunting down in Mississippi.
Yep.
I had one of those bastards from me to Lukey away, which was about 6 feet, nab one of the wood ducks I shot as I was waist deep in waders.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out to it with the dog, with Buddy, and all of a sudden I just see my wood duck kind of just disappear in like this green monster. My buddy goes, get out of the swamp, cowbag! That croc took my damn wood duck.
Oh. That son of a...
Yeah.
Dan Chesky, we're talking Dan Southside Marine, getting that boat ready for open water season when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead, but Murray's got to the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Denny Hamlin looks to defend his title at the Geico 500, live from Talladega Super Speedway. Tune in Sunday morning at 11 for pre-race coverage.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spider wire stealth braid line is $4.99 after rebate.
Rapala Shad Wrap Lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep, traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165 CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your Premier Pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Very well. We didn't even plan that right there. It's commercial right in. Dan, you're done. You know, we just played your commercial. You're gone.
Is it over?
Yeah, that's it. You're done. We'll play the commercial again one more time. Dan, thank you for sponsoring Ticket. Yeah. Thank you for sponsoring Ticket Outdoors, and welcome back, buddy. How's life treating you?
Life's been good. Spring has been great. And, hey, I will have all of you know, there is no ass-kissing going on by Boomer. He's one of the hardest-working pro staff I have or have had.
I'll tell you
well,
what.
Well, hey, that's worth a damn 20. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that, buddy.
Hey, Dan, I'll tell you what. I'm with this guy, you know, 3-4 days a week sometimes, and there's not a better promoter for Alumacraft and Dan's Southside Marine than Boomer, and I swear that, I'll say that on a Bible, this man
walks the walk.
Yeah, he walks the walk, and he's a good preacher for you, and he follows his dream. That's all there is to it.
Well, no, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I'm kind of speechless. And speaking of chasing their dreams, I want to give a shout out to a couple little girls out there that are big fishing fanatics, got fishing in their bloodlines. Rose and Ruby and Sophia. I think I'm going to be taking a group of girls fishing this weekend, and with Dr. Dot Moby, and we're going to go out and chase some of those crappies that are spawning. But Dan, you've got to have some buzz going around there at Dan's Southside with this 70 degree weather, open water. Walleyes are going to start spawning for open. Are just perfect. The crappies are spawning. What's it going on at Dan's Southside?
Well, right now, you know, we're getting a lot of people ready to go. Earlier in the season, we had everybody getting geared up to go to Red Wing and do some early season fishing. And now it's just everybody getting the boats ready, you know, getting them out on there on the water, getting their latest tune up and stuff like that. Really, what you guys want to check is check your bearings in your trailer. That's probably the most overlooked thing on a guy's boat today is the bearings. You don't want to be sitting on the side of the highway going, man, if I would have just taken an extra 15 minutes, I wouldn't be here right now.
All right, if I would have taken an extra 15 minutes and checked my bearings and do it every spring like you're supposed to do it, and I didn't do it and came into you, what would it cost me to fix those bearings? You're talking about a couple $100, which I could have saved just by doing it right in the first place, right?
Exactly. You got a couple $100 bill. But like I say, where it happens, where it shows up is about halfway to Mille Lacs on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Well, a couple $100 is a couple $100, a lost weekend, you know, that you finally got to get out of town. That's hard.
Exactly.
That one's a tough one, right?
Exactly. But, you know, time is money, and that is not money well spent.
What do guys and gals often forget when they're just getting ready to put the boat in the water? What's the one, two, three?
How about
boat
buying a backup plug, Dan?
Oh, jeez.
I do that.
Backup bailer plug, absolutely. Are my tabs on the boat current?
Yeah.
You know, you get them in January, you set them in the mail holder, and you forget about them, and all of a sudden you're on the water, and the DNR's coming up, and you're thinking, hey, I got my fishing license. This is going to be all right. He's going, your boat's not legit, dude.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, Dan, one thing that, you know, just kills me is I've had a couple road trips already up to Rainy and then up to Traverse in South Dakota with, you know, producer couple times, is when I see folks out there hauling these beautiful boats, Alumacrafts, and they got a big old motor on the back, and they don't have some type of support for that motor to keep it up. I mean, that is just a killer. You guys got plenty of those at Dan's Southside right now?
Yeah, we've got a lot of motor toters in stock. We've got all styles, kind of go over the roller or the permanent mount ones that twist right into the mount. We carry them both. We have them in stock. And they're not expensive. I mean, you can get a nice motor toter for $30, $40 easily.
And that's going to protect that $15,000 to $20,000 right. motor on the
well,
back.
Well, all of a sudden, why are motor toters so important? I mean, for the first 1,000 years, you never saw them. Now in the last 10, 15 years, you're seeing motor toters. Why?
I think
what's the big deal?
I think because, and Dan, I'd love to get chime in. But
the engines are getting a lot bigger, first of
all. The engines are getting bigger. They're getting heavier. You know, there's a lot of technology and innovation in those. And they're a lot heavier, and they tilt it up, and it's almost true. It's almost sitting when it tilts all the way up and trimmed up. You're probably sitting somewhere north of 45 degrees, and when you're going down a bumpy road, and let's say you're driving all the way to Devils or 6 hours, that's a lot of bumps to go on there, and that can just shake some things up. And you can buy one of those toters for $40, and then you don't have to worry about it.
And by
it's
the way,
brace.
A lot of guys were sitting along the side of the road with engines that kicked down and dragged and bounced and had all sorts of problems back in the day as well.
And if you have a screwed up tiller, that can give you a lot of issues too, right, Dan?
Well, yeah, it's also going to support the motor and keep it straight a lot more of the time instead of flopping back and forth as you go around corners and stuff. So it's good on the steering system. It's good on those main bearings that, you know, the motor rides on it off the swivel bracket and stuff like that. But, you know, even with these big motors, they put so much torque out right now. When you're trimming that motor, there's some serious force on the transom. It's not that the transom's going to give out. You're just taking a little bit of that stress off the trim system and off those bearings on the main bracket.
Now, Dan,
what are we doing?
Let's say I just pulled that Alumacraft out of the garage and I want to fire it up and make sure it's running, but I don't have time to take it out on the water. Can I bring that to you, and is there still time to have you guys do a quick one-over on it before I go out for opener?
We're getting pretty tight. There's probably still a few openings left right that week right before opener, but it's getting filled up quick. What I'd suggest the guys do, pull it out in the driveway, hook the garden hose to it with a flush muff, fire it off, check all their fluid levels, and go from there. And if you need us, call us. But just to do the simple summarize like I just explained, that's very easily attainable by most guys. They can handle that.
Hey, Dan, I'm asking this on behalf of Nate. A buddy of mine lives down in Lakeville who said, hey, you got Dan on this Wednesday. Ask him. He goes, because I screwed around and I didn't really have it. Now I've got my tax return back. He goes, but I know all the boat show deals and all the early spring, late winter deals are over and everybody's settled in. He goes, is it even worth my time to look for a deal, or should he come? When's his best shopping at the end of the year? Now I know you're Dan from Dan's Southside Marine, but really, is it worth a guy's time to come out and do some looking around?
No, absolutely. We've got some packages, some select packages. Not everyone's going to be available for delivery by the opener, but we've got some great deals. As a matter of fact, we just kicked off today Cinco de Dano.
I love you, man. That's funny. That's funny.
So that's the new promo for this week or this next couple weeks here. And, we're going to deliver some fishing boats yet for the guys who haven't done anything, late tax returns, that type of deal. Absolutely. We're dealing every day of the week. Yes, there were a few extra bucks at the boat show and stuff. But let's face it, you know, $500 one way or another is probably not going to keep you off the water.
Right.
Hey, Dan, you're talking that Cinco de Dano. I don't know that's funny. I think that people remember that kind of thing. I don't know who wrote that for you, where you got it, but it might have been the same people who do your radio commercials, because you have some really creative, funny stuff that makes me remember Dan's Southside Marine. That's for sure.
I love the one about the dog.
Oh, it's wonderful. That's right.
You know what? With gas under $3 a gallon.
Right.
And generally the weather has just been awesome
to
get ready for
the
opener.
The best summer to tow a boat that we've had in years.
It's going to be a spectacular year. Right.
It's going to be the time to get
out
there.
How's that work on the lake when we're pulling up? Are the gas prices that far down also for the boats?
You know,
generally speaking, yeah. You know, generally speaking, the marinas and the on-water gas is typically a buck over the street.
Yeah.
But it's still, by any stretch of the imagination, it's still on sale. Let's face it. Last year it was $5 and $6, and this year it's going to be a lot less expensive, no question about it. So
yeah,
people are going to get a lot of boating for their money this year.
So, Dan, we got about 2 minutes. One question I have for you is, you know, I get asked about, you know, what kind of gasoline do you put in for your motor? Some folks believe in higher octane. Some folks pump in the 87. What's your advice to our listeners out there?
Well, even though the motor will run an 87, we recommend the non-ethanol, and generally speaking, that's a 91, so it's a higher octane. Not only do you get a little more horsepower out of the engine that way, or at least the rated horsepower, but it's going to be so much easier on the internal seal, the fuel line. Anything rubber inside that engine is going to last 100% longer without ethanol in the tank.
You ever done the math on that from like an 87 to a 91, and maybe it might be 30 cents a gallon or something like that, and you actually get your calculator on, you do what you're saving, and it's usually like $3 on a tank.
Exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
Then and you're thinking about maintaining the inside of that engine and the rubber hosings and that sort of stuff for $3 a tank on
yeah.
a boat you paid how much for and how much to
yep.
tow it there and everything else.
It does. It really becomes small dollars at the end of the day, especially when a carburetor job, you know, it's $150 to $200 per carburetor, and there's usually somewhere between 3 and 6 of them on an engine. That adds up real quick.
So where's Dan from Dan's Southside Marine going to be on opener? Are you going to be on the river, a river rat?
I am going to be on the river, probably somewhere between Hudson and Prescott. Generally, I hang around the Afton area, and I'm going to be trolling walleyes.
And where can
my Alumacraft.
Where can folks find you, Dan?
On the web, dansouthsidemarine.com. And we're in Bloomington. We're 6 blocks west of 35W, right on 98th Street.
I had a last question for you, young man. This is a very important question. How skinny are you? How much have you lost right now?
I'm actually down to 285. Just with the summer and the spring the way it's been, I haven't been able to lose a whole lot more because I've been running and gunning and not eating right. But it's good to have lost the weight I have. I've lost 30 pounds.
That's
I'm
a lot.
Proud of that.
Good for you. That's a lot.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Attaboy, Dan. Dan Southside Marine. Thanks for checking in with us on Ticket Outdoors, Dan. And happy fishing, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Right,
talk
thanks.
To you later.
You bet. John Cox, Drew's mystery guest. You tipped it off a little bit. Our mystery guest, Drew.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
His name, John Cox. We're coming back with him on Ticket Outdoors.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams were cursed.
I agree. You're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged, with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel. Between April 13th and May 10th, get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Farm can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/10/15. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
No, I know. We got you, buddy. All right, we're back. The wild cards, Drew, Boomer, Mark Lukey, our producer in studio here with us, and Mrs. Wild Card, Diana Struzinski, with her bear stew. How we sound tonight, darling? Yep.
My wife, Diana, says she won't be on the air, but she's a great supporter. She was hoping that Vaughn would be here. She didn't come for us.
No.
She came for Boomer's old man, Vaughn, but Vaughn's up getting that big old turkey.
I know who he ought to give that turkey to.
For cooking. Yeah, Diana can cook that.
Diana.
Hey, before we get to our next guest, our mystery guest, it's going to be a lot of fun with John Cox. I want to tell you, I talked to George Novak today. He's the guy who's helping build the Elwood Bar in Lionel Lakes.
We had him on last week, right?
Right, right. Yep, a lot of great stories, whatever. And that bar's going to have lots of mounts, fish, and deer, and elk, and all of that.
He said,
pass the word. We need a couple more mounts. So if anyone's got, if some wife is out there whose husband's got 10, 15 mounts in the garage, and they want to give us a call.
Guys, protect your mounts.
Yeah, 651-989-9105. But anyway, get a hold of us somehow.
You can go visit them up at this new place. What's the name of it?
Elwood's. But Elwood's won't be finished till the end of May. But yeah, just go to Elwood's up in Lionel Lake, probably on Lake Drive someplace, and knock on the door and say, hey, this is my old man.
Honey, I want to go visit my mounts tonight. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Oh, and speaking of names, I want to give a big shout-out to our sponsors at Ticket Outdoors. Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Aluminum. Craft Lakes Trading Company and Custom Truck and Accessories.
Boomer, let me add to that. The Fleet Farm now rents contractor grade equipment, so you get what you need when you need it. Rent it, use it, and bring it back to Mills Fleet Farm. I think it's Mr. Guest time, fellas.
Let's do it.
John Cox, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Well, thank you very much, fellas. Top of the evening to you.
Hey,
you
John, been? I was just told by our big shot right across the row of the desk from me, Zep. We can't swear tonight, so we got to give it a...
John, it is like a chat around the campfire, but before the kids go to bed. And the kids are known as the FCC. Imagine if your kids could fine you. Remember, we used to do that when my daughters were little. I'd throw the dollar in the jar, and then after I was overdrawn a couple of times, I was like, all right, Dad's just going to swear sometimes. Uh-huh. And you can't. That's the double standard. John, so, like I said, welcome to Ticket Outdoors. Now, you're Strew's mystery guest. This is something he does most weeks, and there's something a little different about them. How do you get to be?
I can tell you this. Hey, John, let me give you the introduction. But I can tell you, I've never met this gentleman. Spoke to him a couple of times the last couple of days, and I think he's like one sandwich short of a picnic basket. I think because he's been around a while. He's from Ontario. I don't know a whole lot about him. He's way up north. His career. He's been hunting and fishing his entire life. He's up there all the time. We got a lot of hunting and fishing
Why
stories we're going to talk
Canada?
About. I don't know, but I'm probably born and raised there. Yeah. But I believe, and I know this is not the proper terminology, John, but I say you are a helicopter paramedic, but that's not the right terminology. What exactly is your position?
I am a critical care flight paramedic with the province of Ontario.
Whew. When we talked about our buddy Brandon Johnson that was attacked by the bear, he was a fellow that was attacked by a bear here last year and had a very compelling interview with them here on Ticket Outdoors, and he was airlifted out. So when they put him in the helicopter to save his life, it would have been somebody like you in there, John Cox. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he'd have been looking at my mug. That's for sure. Yeah.
Does that usually scare them back to life, or they flatline when they see it? John, how long have you been doing that? Because that's a very amazing job. I mean, you see the worst. By the time they call the helicopter in, now I imagine, I don't know how remote you are in Canada. Maybe you're, live in a big city, but up there it might just be a matter of convenience and getting into people. But by the time they call the chopper in, when they say we're airlifting, that's when everybody gets nervous and the hair stands up in the back of your neck and you go, uh-oh, this one's serious.
We're doing air ambulance in a pretty remote area of northern Ontario. To give you an example, we cover an area the size of Europe.
That's, you know, the best.
Oh, so you're a game warden.
No. I was told once that, wow. and I believe this to be accurate, that 80% of Canada's population lives within 50 miles of the United States border. Now, if you look at the size of Canada, that's a whole lot of wilderness up there, and that's where you're. Well, when you talk about a wilderness the size of Europe, So tell us, can you tell us anything recent? That what would you typically get called out for?
Typically, coming into this time of the year, it's trauma season, so there's a lot of highway traffic issues. There's been medevacs on cottages. People have been stranded in areas.
Why is this season trauma season?
It's a lot of people moving about, traveling, camping, you know, outdoors-ish.
Yeah. Right, they're not locked in for the 9 months of winter up there.
And we don't live in igloos, yes.
Do you do that thing where you rub your noses together when you kiss?
No. Something like that.
All right, I get
you. Hey, John, you mentioned that that there were some maybe people being stranded in cottages or whatever. Do you ever get an opportunity, if you want to call it an opportunity, to save or work with people who were injured in the woods, whether it's hunting or hiking or camping?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us a couple of stories about that.
A lot of the area that I service is a lot of remote Northern Reserve stuff. So a lot of the people that I move haven't been seen by a physician yet. So we are the eyes and the ears and the hands of the physician when we go into these northern communities.
How far out do you go? I mean, what's a long trip out? I mean, you talk about a place the size of Europe. I mean, you could be in the air for hours just getting there.
Absolutely, absolutely. My base is located primarily in Sioux Lookout, but I also cover off Thunder Bay and Kenora.
Oh, Thunder Bay.
So for Sioux Lookout, I could easily travel to Fort Severn, which is the most northern community in Ontario, and that's a good hour, 40 minutes away traveling by aircraft at 360 kilometers per hour or so. So it gives you an idea.
What are they doing up at Fort Severn? I mean, what's the industry up there? Are they just...
Well, they're First Nations communities that are remnants of...
Indigenous.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they're spread across northwestern Ontario and throughout the rest of Canada as well.
So, John, how does that whole process work to be an air paramedic helicopter pilot? If something unfortunately happens to an outdoorsman or woman and they get in a bad position, they find some cell reception or somehow call 911, how does that work its way back to you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, from the 911, they would be sent a land ambulance. A land ambulance would bring them to a medevac area, or they would call for us to land on a dock, or that land ambulance would take that injured or ill person to a local hospital. From there, any of those positions, we would move them from a tertiary center to a larger center where they could get definitive care.
So, John, if you're seriously hurt, you're screwed. You're not going anywhere fast.
We like to think you got a chance.
All right, I like that.
So, John, what would happen if something takes place, unfortunately, and a land ambulance can't get to these people? Are there situations where you have to take that helicopter out into the bush?
Like with the basket? Like with a basket and drop a basket?
Yeah.
We don't do basket drops, no. At most, we would do a hover exit, but a lot of the times we're at helicopter landing pads that are illuminated at night.
Wow. Just describe a hover exit.
Exiting the aircraft with medical gear, say, a couple of feet above the ground, so that the helicopter doesn't land in deep snow, or it can put one wheel down on a dock so you can get off on the dock side of a cottage.
Wow. And how does the weather come into play there, too? So let's say the land ambulance brings them to an area that you describe, and you're, you know, how do you check the weather, or how does that come into play?
Absolutely, yes. The pilots, I'm not a pilot, I'm medical. So we have two pilots and two paramedics, and the pilots are always checking weather, and they don't go unless the weather is safe to go.
Well, yeah, I mentioned Brandon Johnson, a young man down here who was airlifted after an incredible bear attack, to put it very shortly.
Right in the middle of Minnesota, correct?
In the middle of Minnesota. Have you been out on any wild animal attacks, bears, wolves, that sort of thing?
No, not out on the road on my job, but that sure lines up the next story for sure.
Oh,
you know what? How about off the job? Does that count?
Yeah, we'll work our way towards that. Also, I want to hear about your hunting and fishing and all that you do up there in northern Ontario. We're talking with John Cox. He's a helicopter air paramedic. You said it exactly. How? Critical care specialist?
Yeah, critical care flight paramedic with Orange.
Okay, I'm not going to remember a lot
of that.
That
means his IQ's up with all ours added up is higher than ours, too. Right?
Yeah, he's but I'll tell you what, I saw this guy's picture, and John, you look like a wrestler wannabe. You don't look like a paramedic. You should see this guy. You know, he wears a bandana, well, all kinds of crap.
I think you got to be about half mountain man up there. I mean, you've got to be a little rugged, don't you?
Yeah. I would say, yeah, it's pretty rugged. Sorry.
Right, to exist up there and to do what it is you do. Our guest, John Cox. John, we're going to take a couple of minute break, and we're going to come back. We're going to get into that story that you so perfectly teased and then talk about hunting and fishing up in Canada.
Sure.
Thanks.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
What you do see maybe is a little of the pushback because they got pushed around for seven games and embarrassed, and they've come out and won two series. In baseball, all you try to do is get to the next out, the next pitch, the next inning.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spiderwire Stealth braid line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
We at Dan Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your premier pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of premier pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Deja, but we can't get rid of that, Dan. Thank you, Dan, again, Dan Southside Marine, for sponsoring The Ticket Outdoors. Welcome. Now, remember, Sunday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., we rerun this, and the podcast available in the next day or two on 105theticket.com. Our Strew Mystery Guest of the Week is John Cox, and he's a critical care
something
specialist,
a helicopter
that goes out and rescues
people
and saves people and provides medical care, critical medical care to
gets
people.
Gets beautiful women from the Ticket Outdoors to come in and blush.
He's got a boat, ladies that like to fish.
Yeah.
John, thanks for spending some time with us on Ticket Outdoors. We talked a bit about your life professionally. Let's get to know a little bit more about you personally. Are you from the area that you work in up there in Ontario?
No, not originally. Originally, I was born in southern Ontario, and I came up to northwestern Ontario in 1998, and I started air ambulance at that point.
Okay, and so you talked about in Canada, I imagine, much probably like here in Minnesota, there's a rich history of growing up and hunting and fishing. Was that a part of your life growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I was a kid, my dad, my mom would take me out fishing in southern Ontario, but you know, just like you guys are experiencing there, you know, fishing, you go out, it's good, but it's not off the hook rock and roll fishing, you know. You catch your couple of fish and everybody goes home happy, but it's nothing compared to northwestern Ontario.
Yeah, right.
Hey, John, do they have, I guess you have a DNR like we have a DNR. I don't know what you call it up there.
Yeah,
but
it's MNR, Ministry of Natural Resources.
They try to control, of course, and make things happy, everybody happy as far as fishing is concerned, how many fish, what sizes, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make everybody happy. Mille Lacs Lake in the state of Minnesota is the number one walleye lake, has been for many, many years. And this year they went down to a one fish limit between like 18 and 20 inches, and there's all kinds of things happening. Do they still have those kind of issues as well in Ontario?
Well, I'd like to say that they're regulated just as much as you guys are regulating yours.
Mm-hmm.
In the area, for my zone specifically, I'm allowed four walleyes, one below 18, mm-hmm. and three above 21.
A day.
Yeah, and they're nice walleyes too.
Yeah, right.
Is there a possession limit then up there too? So you have your daily and then a possession, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, possession limits of four only.
That'll get you fed. Yeah. Absolutely. I take four a day.
Just eat them, right? Just get rid of them. Just eat the damn thing.
Yeah, John.
No, that goes towards your limit, boys.
They're going to check your crap when the game warden. What do you mean? They can't tell if you eat the fish.
John, to Strew's point there, you know, Mille Lacs is a nationally known lake that we have here, and the slot has changed down to one fish. I think it's about 19 to 21 inches for the walleye. What's a famous fishery up in your neck of the woods?
You'd probably hear about the Wabagoon chain lakes. It's where the Walleye Masters is held.
Oh, fun.
In Dryden. So the Norwick is also attached to the Wabagoon Lake.
I think you might have stumped Boomer. I've never seen that look on his face
and
before.
And he's our fishing guru.
He's our walleye guy.
Yeah.
He was. Now we're hiring John Cox.
Oh, for sure, dude.
You know, I naturally and foolishly me, John, when I think of Canada and I think of great walleye fishing, a lot of us probably are guilty of defaulting to Lake Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It's such a big body of water. Ice fishing wise, it's now becoming a premier destination for up there. It's a little different in the open water scenario because mm-hmm. it's so big and windy. But mm-hmm. are the lakes that you're describing up there, are they big like Winnipeg or?
Oh, no, not big like Winnipeg. Winnipeg's got its own history of navigation. No, quite smaller. We're talking, I couldn't tell you what in hectares it would be, but significant lakes that big enough that they have their own weather issues. Like a lake like Lac Seul is pretty big. It goes from Sioux Lookout over to Ear Falls,
yep.
Red Lake area.
Been on that one.
These are resort lakes also that you're talking
also,
about?
Also, yeah.
So our listeners should be writing these down.
Yeah.
You want to get off the beaten path a little bit or grab the podcast and listen back to it again and grab some lake tips up there.
So, John, our anglers in the state of Minnesota are just jacked right now because we've had really good weather.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to be right during that walleye spawn for a lot of lakes. It opens up on May 9th here in the state.
Right.
When does it open up there, and how is the climate and environment, and what's opener going to be like up there in a couple weeks, if it is in a couple weeks?
Well, I hope it's not like last year. We still had ice on the lake when opener happened. So this year, it's already started to melt. So I don't know. You know, if you're a gambler, I would probably put my opener around the 20th. Maybe 15th to 20th, the lakes will be open. And on, I think it's May 24 weekend, you're actually allowed to start fishing again.
All right, that was my question. So May 24th is when the walleye season opens up in your neck of the woods. All right.
Hey, John, do you ice fish as well?
Well, I sure do.
Do you fish any lake trout up there?
Oh, yeah, same ones. I can hit up to Norwick and Wabagoon, Melgan. A couple of smaller lakes that nobody knows about that you can go in about 7-8 minutes, get onto the lake, punch a couple of holes, and Bob's your uncle.
And I imagine you can convince one of those helicopter pilots to drop you down for about 15-20 minutes someday, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Is it pretty rugged up there, John, when you're talking about that northwest Ontario piece
Bob's
where
your
you're
uncle.
Using you're having to use snow machines and that to get around?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you need to bring a GPS along with you. You could easily get turned around, and that's it. You're lost.
Well, since we're back up in the helicopter and we're talking about Northwest Ontario, was it the question we asked regarding animal attacks up there, if you'd been out in on any wild animal attacks, that spurred you to tease an interesting story?
Was I'm going to stop you just for a second because, John, you're going to tell your story right now, which I think is very, very interesting. But Boomer just told a story about when he was duck hunting one time and saw, was it, what, an alligator?
I don't know if it's an alligator or croc. I always kind of screw that
up. It's in the United States. It's
but
an alligator.
It was an alligator, John, and I was out in Mississippi duck hunting a few years back, and I had one about 5 feet in front of me steal one of my wood ducks when I was waiting.
An alligator came up and took the wood duck down. We thought, that's one hell of a story. But, John, tell us what happened in March right on your own property.
Like this past March?
Just 2 months, last month.
Last month. Okay, so March 3rd at 10:30 in the morning. It was a kind of anomaly. My daughter was off school. She was sick. I decided that I was going to actually head out ice fishing. Went out early in the morning. She heard me leave. And then she didn't hear me come back. And I was downstairs, had my earphones in, listening to some music. And then my phone rings. And it's her. She's upstairs. She calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, where are you?" "I'm downstairs." "Why are you calling me?" "You gotta come upstairs. There's a cat attached to our goat."
Stella.
So I have three goats, and they're kind of like dogs. They were eventually. I thought originally they were going to be, you know, meat or milk, but they didn't turn out to be any of that, and they turned out to be more like lawnmowers, right?
Oh, sure. You can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
So they got named by our little girl, and they became more like dogs. So they're pretty friendly. They come to the house all the time. They eat out of your hand. So when I came upstairs and saw this happening, I was taken aback right away. I didn't know what to do right away.
You said a cat.
What was on the goat's back?
Oh, yes, a big wild
cat. It's a minor detail, John. Come on, pal, tell the story.
Like a domestic cat?
No. Lynx.
A lynx.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so this wasn't
so
fuzzy.
Bigger than a bobcat, smaller than a cougar.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I went for the gun case, and of course it's a spin lock, and I could, you know, when it's going down and you can't remember your middle number, you know.
The adrenaline's going. Because the adrenaline's going, sure.
Now, hang on a second. Everybody, don't get sick or something or hurt in Canada. This is the man who reacted well under pressure.
So I decided at the moment I was able to get the safe open to grab my British 303. Now, that's an old military rifle.
You bet. Absolutely. Well,
and if you're so inclined, you can also get it with the bayonet.
Yeah. And that's a big caliber rifle.
It is, yeah. It's a pretty big caliber rifle.
That'll kill a goat.
It sure will. And at that point, I had contemplated, actually, both animals were going to be finished at this point. Unfortunately, Stella was hemorrhaging. She was running up and down the driveway screaming. I've never heard a goat make that kind of noise before, and she's trying to horn this thing off her back and kick, and I opened the door to take the shot at Stella and the cat. Soon as she saw me open the door, she came running head down straight for me.
Whoops.
And burst the door open.
Oh,
and now I have this bar brawl going on in my living room.
And a rifle in your living room.
A rifle in my hand, and I'm thinking, what the hell does the guy do at this point? So I thought I should just put it on safe, because that's a good thing to do.
Right.
And I bashed the cat in the head three times before it let go of Stella. At this point, Stella's kicking her off, and the two separate. But the cat doesn't go back towards the open door. It runs towards the living room.
Well, the cat's a little freaked out now at this point, I'm sure, too.
Oh, yeah, and slightly disorientated from the...
I'm getting knocked on the head.
Hang on a second. John, Boomer's got a question.
No, I was just going to say, it reminds me of Christmas Vacation with the dang squirrel jumping around. Remember that with Chevy Chase?
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
So the lynx has now escaped into the living room. Does it leave your eyesight?
And yes, it does. It does, for a matter of fact. I run past the kitchen. At this point, I notice my daughter is in the kitchen. She's no longer standing at her door and at her room. And the cat sees me and runs towards what appears to be an open window, but of course all my windows are closed.
It's March 3rd.
And it wipes out everything on the windowsill, smashes glass, it's bleeding, and now it's coming back towards me.
And all you have is a bayonet.
Yeah, my rifle's still loaded. And I look back at my daughter and I tell her to run back to her room and close the door. So she bolts. And at this point, I'm wondering, should I shoot it? And I kept thinking about all the things that would happen right after I pulled the trigger, like a hole or a ricochet it could be a million things could happen. And so I decided not to shoot. I put my rifle back on safe, but as it got close enough to jump at me, I swung at it like a baseball bat.
Now here we go. Hang on a second. Now I'm thinking. Boomer brought up a movie. I'm thinking of Steve Martin wrestling the cow in Irene and Me. Remember that
one? Absolutely.
What about John Candy and Dan Aykroyd from The Great Outdoors with the bear that gets in the house?
All right, keep going, John. What happened?
So once I had it knocked out cold, I was standing over it, now catching my breath, wondering what the hell am I going to do now. Just then, Stella isn't done with the goat, or it isn't done with the cat. She comes running past me, horns the cat, and throws her into my TV stand. She's hoofing it and horning it, and she's bleeding. It's bleeding. It's out cold still. So I grab Stella, and I start pulling her towards the door. I throw her outside and come back in. Now it's been enough time that the cat's starting to come too.
Oh, jeez.
It's like a roller coaster that just wouldn't stop, you know?
That you couldn't get off.
I couldn't get off.
It just kept going back around again. So?
So at this point, I took my bayonet, and I fixed my bayonet and gave it a couple pokes. Now, I didn't stab it. I poked it.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, you stabbed. No, I didn't. I poked it so it would get up.
Feel free to stab it.
just what were you, John? Just giving a little love
that thing to the wall.
I'm thinking about the mess it might make.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It sounds like it's already
made a pretty good mess.
And what do you do with a wildcat in the end of your stick, you know?
Well.
So I poked it to the position where it could notice the front door. I called for my daughter to open the front door. It went towards the front door with my in the living room. Just as it went into the living room, I stepped into the living room as well, and it looked back at me, and I shot. I shot and made such a racket in the house.
A high-powered, 300-grain or caliber rifle now is going to make a boom.
Me, the sound and the smell, and then after everything was really quiet, my daughter comes out of her room, and she's like, Dad, that was really messed up. To say the least, my little friendly girl.
Did you hit the cat?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that.
Right in the back of the head, took the forehead off.
So I'm sure.
You know, I couldn't mount it at all, but
no.
Sure got the pelt. Yeah. I learned a lot about skinning out an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned about, how to stretch a hide and cure a hide. And
yeah.
Yeah,
and you learned
good.
How to hunt a lynx in your living room?
He learned how to clean up blood.
Yeah.
Glass, blood.
What was the goat's name? I forgot. Ella?
Stella.
Stella. What about Stella?
Stella, she hemorrhaged for a little while afterwards, for about 24 hours. But a couple days afterwards, I was wondering if she was having some infection setting in.
You didn't call the chopper in?
Medevaced her out, No, I never did.
Yeah.
So where's that pelt hanging?
Her back to health.
And, yeah, she's doing fine.
She's doing good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, John, where's that pelt of that lynx in your house now?
Well, actually, currently it's shipped over to Winnipeg where it's being tanned. So I'll get it back in about another 6 weeks.
I'm sure, and they'll probably stitch that back together for you, wouldn't you think, for a full pelt?
Yeah, they were mentioning that, and I was like, if you don't put the hole back together, that's fine. That's part
sure.
of the story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, John, what does lynx taste like?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't eat it. You know,
never eat a predator.
The trapper that helped me skin it out, he said he's had it before and recommends it.
Huh?
By the way, John was nice enough to send me a couple of pictures, and one of the links all skinned out and all of that. So I'll send these to you guys. Yeah. We'll post it on Facebook, but that is a story, my friend.
That's we're going to have to put the picture of that lynx pelt on Facebook.com/theticketoutdoors and maybe a little story of John and the lynx.
Well, there's nowhere we can go from there, but thank you, John Cox, for being our mystery guest and sharing that fantastic story.
Good job, Stu, with the mystery guest tonight, buddy.
Hey, John, I'll text you, my friend, maybe tomorrow, and next time I'm heading north, I may just keep on heading north, and I'll find you, and you can take me on a fishing trip. How does that sound?
Sure, mister. Hey, you know, it's fishing is fishing. We go catching.
Oh, there.
No chasing.
Hey, John, thank you very much. Okay. Good luck up there in Lynx Country for you and the kid and the goats. And with your job as well, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cox, there he goes.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Sean Parrish, Northern Wilds Media Outdoors up out of Grand Marais. Our guest next on Ticket Outdoors.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.
Department stores are closing all over the country. Radio Shack is bankrupt. This weekend, $1 million of merchandise is being liquidated direct to the public. Incredible prices. Clothes, jewelry, perfume, cosmetics, even purses to 80% off department store prices. Designer jeans, $12. Shoes, $10. Bras, $5. Sheet sets, $12. Clothes and shoes to 80% off. Listen to this. Digital cameras, $19. HD quarter, $49. HD TVs, $199. Laptop computers, $99. Android tablets, $39. Smartphones, $69. Bluetooth, $19. Housewares, cookware, blankets, comforter sets, cosmetics, lingerie, even toys and tools. Thousands of bargains. Everything liquidated to the public up to 80% off. This Friday, 12 to 9. Saturday, 10 to 9. Sunday, 11 to 6 at two locations. Columbia Heights at the former Slumberland Furniture Store in Central Value Center, 4300 Central Avenue Northeast, next to Ace Hardware. And in St. Paul in the Sunray Shopping Center, 2099 Old Hudson Road, former Snyder Drugs, next to TJ Maxx.
Bobby, you here again?
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Warm weather fever is here. You can't help getting excited when warm days and sunshine return. For many of us, that means taking the motorcycle or sports car out of the garage and hitting the road. Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. With all the excitement of spring and summer months, we sometimes tend to let safety slip from our minds. If you're one of the many Minnesotans who love to ride, please drive responsibly. For those of us who share the road with motorcycles, please start seeing them. In our years of serving Minnesota, we've learned that a little awareness can go a long ways in avoiding many accidents. At Bradshaw & Bryant, we hope your summer months are safe and you never know the pain of being in an accident. But if you do, please give us a call.
You can find Mike Bryant of Bradshaw & Bryant at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Mike Bryant, seeking justice for the injured.
Seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Call 800-770-7008.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, we rerun the show. Grab the podcast on 105theticket.com. Still laughing away here at John Cox's story about the lynx loose in the house. Our guest now, Sean Parrish. Welcome to Take It Outdoors.
Yeah, hi. Thank you.
Hey, Sean. Here.
With Northern Wilds Media up in Grand Marais. Mm-hmm. A favorite town. I was just up there a few weeks ago. Always a favorite stop when my daughters and I are in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a favorite stop of many people, that's for sure.
You bet.
So, Sean, how are the lakes up there? It's Boomer here. Thanks for joining us at Ticket Outdoors. Are the lakes melting ice up there by Superior?
Yeah, I think they're melting ice. I haven't really heard any fresh ice out reports, and I haven't been inland myself here for a couple of weeks, so I don't really know what they look like. But certainly there will be no problems with open water for the opener.
Are folks as jacked about fishing that we're hearing here down in the cities and some of the adventures we've gone on as they are up in Superior?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It depends what kind of fishing you're talking about. You know, usually the opener up here can be slow for walleye. There's a few places where you can go and have good walleye fishing, but it's primarily a trout thing for the first couple of weeks of the season. And so it's lake trout in shallow water, stream trout primarily, brook trout and splake, you know, in small lakes, that sort of thing.
So does that have to do with the walleye bite maybe being a little slower up there just because the ice is coming out later than it is in the bottom half or central part of the state south, and the water temps aren't just in those mid-40s for those walleyes to spawn up there yet?
Yeah, simply put, we live in two different countries.
We're talking about Sean Parrish. Did I get that right? Did I pronounce your name right, Sean?
Yep, you sure did.
Northern Wilds Media. You'll find the Northern Wilds paper when you're hanging out up there. I encourage you to grab it, go through it. Much like we like our outdoor news down here, Northern Wilds is the newspaper of northern Minnesota. What's making the news up there in Northern Wilds these days?
Well, you know, I've been talking a lot with people. We had a story in our April issue about the collaring of moose calves.
Yeah.
And written by Joel Friedrichs. And that has gone, not due to our story, but recently, within the past few days here, Governor Dayton has said no more collaring of moose, radio collaring moose, calves or adults.
Yeah.
And certainly that's something people are talking about up here right now.
You'll find out up there. And by the way, Northern Wilds Media, or northernwilds.com. You don't have to wait till you're up north to grab a paper. Northernwilds.com. And I love to follow along. Minnesota's a couple of different states. You know, you've got your farm country out in the central and the south, and then you've got northern Minnesota, more cattle country and wooded industry, that sort of thing, mining and lumber and that sort of thing. But when you talk about game up there, it's a little bit different. I always, every time I pick up a paper or I log on to northernwilds.com, there seems to be a lot of talk about deer population.
Yeah, there's been talk about deer population as well, pretty much throughout northeastern Minnesota, and I can't speak for a broader area than that, but I can speak of stuff north and east of Duluth. And certainly I've lived there most of my life, all of my life, basically, and, got lots of friends and acquaintances. And 2014 was pretty grim. I had some friends who hunt out of a cabin, hunting shack they've had for at least 60 years in their family. That would be north of Duluth, north of Island Lake. And they went 6 days after fresh snow without seeing a deer track. And this is a group of experienced hunters.
Wow.
Yeah, and because we get a lot of talk down here. Well, they're like, oh, it's not so bad. But, like I said, it depends where you're at in the state. And we're down here in the central part of the state. And in the River Valley and in southern Minnesota, it wasn't as bad a hunting season. And I notice up there when I'm talking to guys in northern Minnesota, they seem to be a little harder on the DNR and their conservation effort when it comes to managing that deer population up there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of concern that I've heard about multiple deer limits, and especially when they get into the five deer limits where you can you know shoot five antlerless deer or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't want to gut and drag that many deer.
I don't blame you.
But anyways, I think folks think that the deer herd was being hit pretty hard by management. We have another factor up here beside winter. We also have, predation primarily by wolves.
Yeah.
So if you're hitting them hard with hunting and by the wolves, and then you get a couple of hard winters like we did in 2013 and 2014, it really knocks the bottom out of the herd. And they'll come back, but it's going to be, a process. It'll take several years before the deer herd is back to I think, what people would consider an acceptable level. And it's hard, I think, for DNR to hit a happy medium in the north because there's an acceptable level of deer, there's too few deer, and there's too many deer. And that acceptable level, you know, can pretty quickly burgeon into too many deer. Then there starts being complaints from, you know, people who own homes or cabins and, you know, their vegetation on their property. Foresters start to complain because they can't grow pine trees, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line there where, you know, you need enough deer in the woods so that when you go hunting, you can expect to see one. And in the north, I think it's more realistic to say see one than to see a dozen. Where I know there's other parts in the state where people really do expect to see numbers of deer every day.
Small herds, yeah.
We're talking with Sean Parrish, and Sean is up in northern Minnesota. Superior, someplace up there. We'll talk more about that. And Sean is owner of Northern Wilds Media. Sean, this is Steve. Mr. Rosinski, we spoke, and I got the right phone number to call you. So thanks for getting back to me on that.
Two tries, but we got it right.
You're also a publisher of the Northern Wild magazine. Tell us more about that, would you?
Yeah, Northern Wilds, I started with my business partner, Amber Pratt, actually 11 years ago. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary last September. And we started out as a quarterly publication focused on the outdoors, primarily along the North Shore between Duluth and Thunder Bay, Ontario. And over the years, it's morphed. Now it's a monthly full-color magazine. It's printed on newsprint. It'd be like City Pages or something along those lines, only in full color. And we cover lots of different things because people come to the North Shore not just for the outdoors. They come here for the arts. They come here for the scenery. There's a lot of reasons why people come here and why people live here. And we really try to reflect all of that.
Well, I'm going to ask you this then. Okay, well, how did you get into this? I mean, obviously, you love the outdoors. You must have been born and raised loving hunting and fishing. And all of a sudden, you were a hunter and fisher person. And then you start doing this about 10 years ago. And it seems to me like you built a monster because you're busier than hell. Looking at all the things you're doing with the publications and the media and the graphics and whatnot, then you're writing for the outdoor news as well. How did all this develop?
I wish I could answer that. There's a lot of days where I really wish I could answer that.
You don't have any time. I mean, but you love it. You're in God's country up there, and you're doing exactly what you love, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I still spend plenty of time outdoors.
Yeah.
I take my outdoors time, though, is I because I've spent so much time outdoors, when it comes to hunting and fishing, I like to hit prime times. So I'll go out for a couple hours early in the morning. I'll fish in the evening, that sort of thing. And deer season, I try to hunt as many days as possible. I usually get 9 or 10 days in out of our 16-day season. So I don't feel too sorry for me working hard.
All right. Expand, if you would, on Northern Wild magazine. How many people are involved in writing that, and what's the publication, and where does it go?
Well, we're distributed free from Duluth to, like I said, Thunder Bay,
mm-hmm.
and in over 150 locations. So we're really easy to find when you're on the North Shore.
Yeah, when we go up to Lutzen, there's that little, I always forget, right there in Lutzen, that little strip mall with the little grocery store. It used to have a liquor store there, but they moved it down. But so it was always a nice one-stop. You'd find Northern Wilds, the paper, in there as well.
Yep, you'll find it there and across the road from there in Lockport Store.
Yep.
And, yeah, a
store
lot
down
and lots
Tofty.
Of locations. Lutzen Resort. And I guess we've it started out with just Amber and myself, and we now have a staff of, in addition to ourselves, 5 people, not to mention our freelance writers, our distributors in Duluth and Thunder Bay, and, you know, any number of people that help us out one way or another. So we're not really sure how we created this monster either, but we're kind of proud of it.
Sean Parrish, our guest, northernwilds.com, Northern Wilds Media, the paper, the free paper up there, and the free magazine as well. And it's a lot more than just hunting and fishing. You're going to find park information. We'll get to that. We're going to take a little break here, Sean. When I come back, and you touched on it, and then I hustled away from it in bad interview style, about Governor Dayton suspending the coloring of moose up there. And we already talked in previous shows about that decision the judge in Washington, D.C. made to suspend hunting and trapping of wolves in northern Minnesota. So we just want to come back to that and get your impressions of that, how you're covering it in Northern Wilds, and what you're hearing from the locals up there when we come back with our guest, Sean Parrish, Northern Wilds Media, on Ticket Outdoors.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities, On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
How hard is it to be one of those fringe guys and know, Chad, that this is an all-in situation with this group?
Absolutely. I mean, guys like Matt Cook know that after he's been out for a while, knows that if his game slips a little bit come playoff time, there are lots of guys that can replace him.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel. Between April 13th and May 10th, get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Farm can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/10/15. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family owned can make for you.
Steve Straczynski here of Coldwell Banker Burnett. It's time, my friend. If you're a Ticket Outdoors fan, then you're also a fan of hunting and fishing. I've got 29 years in real estate licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I'll consider it a privilege to help you find that perfect lake home or the 40-acre piece of heaven that's hiding a Boone and Crockett right now. Hey, check me out on Facebook or email STRU@STRU.com. It's your money. Thanks. And thanks for having fun with us on the Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks again to our sponsors, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm. Remember, Fleet Farm rents contractor-grade equipment. Now get what you need when you need it. Rent it, use it, and bring it back to Mills. Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, Custom Truck Accessories. We're talking our guest, Sean Parrish, Northern Wilds Media. That's the paper, that's the magazine, and NorthernWilds.com, our guest on Ticket Outdoors. And now I have a little bit of echo. I don't know if anybody else is hearing
I
that.
I can hear your echo. Well, I can hear my echo
I
now.
I don't know how to turn that off. I don't have that. I'm not aware of that technology, so we're just going to drive
could
on.
Could be a lynx in the studio.
Could be
something.
A wild lynx. Well, there is Diana right over there. She's a wild cat.
Sean, my gorgeous wife, Diana, is in the studio, and Zepp likes to flirt with her all the time, so I apologize.
We all love to flirt with her.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, Zepp brought up the Moose deal. By coincidence, when I've been following this closely because Michelle Carstensen and I have become very, very good friends, and she's been on a couple of times, and all the guys know her. She's been in studio, whatever, and I've learned a lot about it, and I believe in it. I think we've got to figure out why the Moose are dying more so than the Wolves. And then when I read your article last week about, okay, it's a great article, then you finish with, okay, it might be time to nip this in the bud because things aren't going as well as they should have been planned. I called you, and thank you very much for getting on the air with us. And I thought, this is perfect timing. Then all of a sudden yesterday, Governor Dayton says, uh-oh, it's all done.
No.
Tell us what you're thinking. Is that exactly what you were thinking should happen?
Well, I guess I concluded my call in saying that, you know, if we were unable to do this calf research and radio collar calves without
right.
being the second highest cause of mortality to moose calves, it seemed to me like the aha moment for whatever's going wrong with Minnesota moose probably isn't going to come out of the calf study. So is it worth it? And I really don't, I'm different maybe than some other hunters, but I really don't have a problem with people who get troubled by the death of an individual animal. And
right.
I think in this case, that's it troubles me. And
right.
I know I'm not alone there. What I've seen on social media, you know, from people up the Gunflint Trail around Grand Marais is basically the one response, only response I saw is it's about time. So it's been upsetting people that these researchers have been, you know, have had this collateral damage of, you know, moose that are dying due to stress caused by being around humans, you know, during the research, or basically during the capture.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really bothered people. And it would seem to me, personally, if, you know, humans are problem solvers, and if the governor says, you know, you're not going to continue doing this when you've got this kind of collateral damage, then you better find a way not to have the collateral damage and still be able to get the data.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're there to find out why the moose population's, you know, being reduced so dramatically, and you're contributing to that in some part, then, yeah, right, something's got to be done a little bit differently. You're bright people. A lot of those folks are doctors, actually, the person that we know is.
Yep.
And there's got to be another way. But, you know, that's this, you know, dumb radio broadcaster coming up with that, so I don't know.
Right now, I think there are a little over 100 moose that are still collared, and in my opinion, I'm thankful that they're still going to let this thing run with the moose that are collared, because based on what I learned when we spend time with Michelle in Grand Marais and the time she's been on the air, the information they get from those collars are critical. So I agree with you that the calf thing hasn't worked. Unfortunately, I think about 30% of the calves that were collared did not make it, whether it was for stress or the cows abandoned them. But I think that we should continue collaring the adult moose and see what's going on here, because there's reasons other than wolves why we're losing the moose.
So, Stu, you know, Sean, I'd love to get your opinion on that. As Stu touched on, we should be collaring adult moose versus the calves because it would be less stress and they wouldn't abandon them. But would we be getting as good as information from these older moose than we would if we stopped doing the calves?
Well, I'm not a scientist, and how good is your information when you're the second largest source of mortality,
right,
I guess, in terms of the calves? I've seen two news reports now reporting that they stopped collaring adult moose late this winter because they were having such high mortality, and they killed either 5 or 6 moose. Moose don't handle stress very well. I've seen it many, many times. I've lived around moose for a long time, and you just have to really respect them. They just kind of fall to pieces around people.
It's kind of like Zep and Wives.
Okay.
So it's kind of similar.
I responded. I used to be a first responder and a firefighter, and I responded one time to a moose accident. Some little old ladies from Thunder Bay hit a moose along Highway 61 just outside of Hovland here.
Yeah.
And all they did, it was a cow, it was an adult cow, and they broke a femur on her, you know, a leg bone. And the moose was dispatched by a deputy when he showed up, but it was darn near dead just from that leg injury, where a deer probably would have just ran off with that broken leg.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference.
You know, Sean, I'm a big believer in learning from others that have walked down this path, and I've learned a lot from folks in this industry to be blessed to where I'm at today and be able to be next to good folks like producer Mark and Stu and Zep. So with that being said, learning from others that have gone down this path, there has to be other parts of the world, let's say, that have had some moose issues, and what have they done to correct that? Is there any research out there from other parts of the world or the country that you know that could be applicable to the moose population in our great state of Minnesota?
Well, what I do know is that moose researchers from around the world gather for a moose conference every year.
Right now they're in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they've been in Minnesota twice. They were in International Falls in either 2013 or 2014, and they were in Grand Portage probably around 2000. So there's definitely a lot of, you know, information changing hands among the top researchers in the world when it comes to moose.
And I think your dog in the background sees a moose right now.
Yeah. Sorry about that, but
that's fine.
He's got some issues with the world because he's in his cage and he doesn't like it.
Who does?
Yeah.
Like to be in their cage.
Well, we know
11 weeks old today. So.
Oh, good.
Well, we all know how passionate I am about, you know, protecting our resources from predators and making sure there's an equal balance and we don't have to touch base on wolves right now. But besides the collaring and besides controlling the predators or the wolves or the coyotes, Sean, what would you suggest that we could do?
probably number one, either harvest or burn more forest. When moose numbers were really high in the 80s and 90s, you know, we had a lot more logging going on in northeastern Minnesota than we have now. And we had a lot of freshly harvested areas, and that's what moose like, is that very young forest, you know, the forest that's coming back after some kind of, you know, big disturbance.
Yeah.
You almost, when you're around them a lot, you almost start to think of them almost more as open country animals than forest animals, because they spend so much time out in those open areas.
That's true, yeah.
But they need both, and then they need, you know, those bogs and deep swamps where they can cool off in the summertime, and where they, you know, conversely can stay warm in the winter.
Sean Parrish, our guest, Northern Wilds Media. That's the magazine and the free paper up there, northernwilds.com.
Yep.
The girls and I, you know, we're coming up here on, we're not coming up. We're at that beautiful time of the year. There's a lot of reasons to get up there, not just fishing in northern Minnesota, all the beautiful parks and the trails and the hiking and the boundary waters. What are some things here in 2015 that in Northern Wilds Media that you're pointing families towards or that you're kind of excited about or reporting on?
Well, one thing I'm excited about, and I can't tell you where it's going to lead, but we up until a month ago, had a really cool editor, a woman named Erin Altimus, who's a dog musher, placed very highly in her first Bear Grease Marathon this year. But Erin is very much a been-there-done-that kind of woman, and she's going to be doing some day trip stories for us this summer. And so she'll be traveling basically along the North Shore, between Duluth and probably Thunder Bay and beyond, just looking for cool things for people to do.
Yeah, you know, and you know, they're the usual ones that you see along the highway that are highly publicized. We know about down here in the city, but that's, you know, I love your publication, some other sites online that get you off the beaten track if you've been taking your family up there every other summer. Every summer, we go a couple of times a summer. It's nice to find some different things and to do some exploring, and there's a whole lot of North Shore that you just end up driving past and you don't know. Sometimes we'll just turn down a old logging road and see what we find up there. Sometimes I've gotten stuck.
So have I.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've walked home a long ways.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've got going on is we're publishing the second edition of a book by Evan Gary Wallenga called Waterfalls of the North Shore.
Oh, yeah.
And
did they do the Edmund Fitzgerald book as well?
No, they didn't. That was a woman named Alandra Warner from Thunder Bay that did that.
All right.
But when we did the second edition, even Gary, who has literally looked at every waterfall on the North Shore, there's over 130 in Minnesota, but we told him this time around, why don't you see what there is within a day's drive of Duluth in Wisconsin along the Lake Superior shore, so they've got a bunch of Wisconsin waterfalls. And then they went north of the border and up into Ontario and discovered some Ontario waterfalls as well. And they've found some places that I think are pretty cool that I didn't know existed.
And that's coming up in future issues, you said?
Yep. No, that'll be a book, actually.
Okay.
So that'll be out in bookstores throughout the state. It'll be real easy to find.
You know, you guys publish a lot of regional outdoor nonfiction and guides, of course, under North Shore Press imprint. But
yep.
And I'm reading about it, or have read about it, and one of the books that just intrigued me just by the title is, and that was also done by, done by Robert Olson, I think, is called $2 and a Can of Gas. What's that all about?
Bob Olson has a cabin up on Clearwater Lake that he built himself. He's been up there a lot of years. And he grew up in Duluth, and he fell in love with the Gunflint at a very young age and started traveling up to the Gunflint with a Model A, which he still has, basically with $2 in his pocket and a can of gas along with him.
It's got to be a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all sorts of great stories because he was, you know, fishing lakes in the boundary waters before the motor restrictions. People he met on the Gunflint Trail, you know, the Gunflint Trail old-timers and whatnot. Just all sorts of really cool stories.
That's all sorts stuff. Of really cool stories.
Fun
That's
stuff.
How I would describe Northern Wilds Media. There's the paper. There's the magazine when you're up in that neck of the woods. And there's also northernwilds.com. Sean Parrish, thank you for spending some time with us on Ticket Outdoors.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
take care, sir. Again, thank you very, very much for taking the time.
Stop by the office and say hi.
Will do. Well, thank you.
Yep.
And that's up in Grand Marais as well. All right, fellas, there you go. We got some stuff. We didn't even get into the Wolf stuff too much, but I think the Moose thing, because it's our own Governor Dayton here that decided to step in. And I really don't know too much about the ins and outs, but we are going to have, I would guess, Michelle Karstensen in the next couple of weeks.
I think I talked to her yesterday. We're going to shoot for next week. She has to wait until the governor or somebody says she can talk about what's going on.
Oh, that's right, because she's working for the DNR, so she just can't. Shoot her mouth off whenever she wants to.
Oh, like, she can. She
like,
can.
Like us.
You know what, though, guys? Hopefully, hopefully, if we're going to reset how we're approaching this, Moose, and I'm not going to go on the Wolf tangent right now, but hopefully we bring in some outside point of views like this committee or whatnot that's meeting in Colorado, and we can find a program that's going to be sustainable and work for that Moose resource that we have in this great state.
We can hope so. All right, guys, thanks. We're going to take a break. We're coming back, and we're going to talk.
Boomer said something intelligent. That was really good.
We're going to talk records when we come back. Fishing records. Mike Clover, our guest, up next on Ticket Outdoors.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater.
He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater.
No
one more accurate.
Ooh, that's a bold
Aaron Rodgers?
I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spider wire stealth braid line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato.
Love it.
Stuck in your car and missing the kid you used to be? Remember those days before traffic, deadlines, and all that responsibility? Well, it's time to get that kid back by opening up a refreshing memory today with Killabrew Root Beer. Minnesota-made Killabrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Grab your own super cold aluminum bottle available in the cooler section of your favorite Holiday Station store. Killabrew. It's how memories are made and legends are created.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Always interesting off-the-air conversations. Oh, that's right. We've got, Luke here, producer, is getting Mike on the phone right now, so we've got a minute. And we've got a big lake report coming up. We're getting into that juicy time of the year. There's sort of a no man's land in there for your lake report, Boomer, because you've got the hard ice report that you're so into all winter long. Great reports. And then we kind of get into that melt out, you know, that ice out. Where you're sort of in between reports. You're talking about Traverse, you're talking about Rainy a little bit, but now we're getting into the open water season a week and a half away, and it's time to start talking big time fishing.
Right, and I know we're going to bring the Mike on, but sometimes we have that little lull, but we've had open water and warm temps, and the crappies are just going ape crap right now, and there's going to be some great info for our listeners to talk about where those crappies are at.
Who doesn't love fishing for something that every time it hits the water, your jig hits the water, your bait hits the water, you've got a bite?
Yes.
And you can fill up a bucket and have clean them up, cook them up that night.
And we're going to talk about it's a great time to get kids out on the boat, too, because those crappies are so active.
Well, and that's what keeps a kid's attention.
Right.
You know, going out and, you know, an hour between walleye or, you know, taking them out for bigger game fish or something like that. That's when I started actually fishing bass more often, was to get the girls out because they were easier, or panfish, because you're going to lose their attention in 2 minutes if it takes them 2 minutes to catch a fish.
And speaking of big game fish, we've got a guest coming on that caught just a monster sturgeon.
We've got him on right now, Mike Klob. Welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, big shot. Mike Klob, Steve Straczynski here. Thanks for being on the Ticket Outdoors. Are you still at the Dairy Queen? Go ahead, talk about your store. Promote your store on the air right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, St. Francis Dairy Queen, it's up in St. Francis, Minnesota, of course. And it's a pretty small store, actually. pretty small town, so
Dairy Queen, right?
He's busy right now.
He's working at Dairy Queen right now. His boss gave him 15 minutes to be on the air. He's working at Dairy Queen right now.
Finger buzzer.
I got to shout my boss out for that. So
I'm over on Lexington and Larpinder. We've got the Dairy Queen you can't walk into. It's just at the window.
Right. Been there for 1,000 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Strip mall, and that's plenty big enough for me, man. I love it. It's a Dairy Queen fiend. A couple of chili dogs and. Hey, give me a strawberry shake.
Hey, Mike, thanks for being on the air. I'll tell you about it. I saw your little story in the, might have been this, I think it was the Outdoor News, and we'll talk about the sturgeon that you caught. Fortunately, that someone was busy and you took someone else's line and brought this big sturgeon in. But some of the stories you share with me today about when you were growing up, tell me how you're only 17, 18 years old, you've been hunting and fishing your entire life.
Pretty much, yes. And I have my dad to thank for that. He's definitely my idol, and he's given me plenty of opportunities to be on the boat or be on hunting and whatnot. And I don't know where I'd really be without my dad.
Give me an example about this young man. He's only 17. He's a senior at St. Francis, I think, right? Hopefully, do more than hunting, fishing. Hopefully, do some other sports and whatnot. But
okay. He used to be in baseball and whatnot, and play some other sports. And I spent a lot of my time at the Dairy Queen here working and
hard working man.
Hang on a second. Every year he gets to go hunting pheasants out in Iowa.
It's a great place to meet chicks too, Dairy Queen.
Yeah, imagine it is. Yeah, he spears Northerns. This year he got a 42-inch Northern he speared.
Wow.
His first muskie was 48.5 inches. This kid's done it all.
Yes. Well, yeah. Plenty of opportunity.
Good for you.
Well, Mike, you seem like a strapping young lad. Boomer here, thanks again for joining us on Ticket Outdoors, and you're in shape. So tell us, you had to be in shape to land, 100-pound sturgeon?
What?
Oh, yeah. It's probably, somewhere between, I think, what we thought was somewhere between 100, 110, maybe 115 pounds.
Where at? You got to be up north.
Rainy River,
up north.
Yeah, you bet.
God, where were you when I was up there, brother? Walk us through the story.
I'll tell you what, Mike, who you're listening to right there is Boomer Stelmach, and Boomer Stelmach is our fishing pro, and he's all over the place. Just came back from Travers on the western Minnesota. He's been up at Rainy River last week with you, and he caught a couple, but he never caught a 100-pounder. So tell us this story.
All right, so me and my dad and my dad's friend Steve Sorgan Fry and his son Matt.
If you go to St. Francis, say my dad and I, okay? Try it again. My dad and I.
Oh, sorry about that.
Tell him to stick it.
My father and I.
There you go.
Attaboy.
We went up to the Rainy River with my dad's friend Matt, or Steve Sorgan Fry and his son Matt. And I think we went up to my dad's friend's cabin on Lake Vermilion first, and we stayed the night there on Thursday night, and we left for the Rainy on Friday morning. And we got to the river and fished. I think we got to the river about, it was like 9:30 or maybe it was about 9:30, I think. And we started fishing, and right away, Matt, he caught a couple nice sturgeons, I want to say 52 and a 53 right out the gate.
Jesus.
And then
Lord.
I wasn't really catching anything, and I caught we caught a bunch of 6-pound suckers, and not just 6-pound, but just huge suckers. And I caught, like a little, probably 12-inch sturgeon earlier in the day. And my dad's friend Steve, so later in the day, this is getting to the big fish, later in the day, my dad's friend Steve, he was actually taking a pee on the side of the boat, and his rod started going off, and he said, he told me to grab it, so I grabbed it, and I set the hook, and at first, I caught a sturgeon last year, it was like a 57, I believe, and sturgeon fight really good, so I was expecting, a good fight out of it, and I got a really good fight out of it. But it felt mostly just like a anchor on my line almost. It definitely pulled mine, but it wasn't as crazy as I thought it was gonna be. And then I was sitting there fighting this fish, and it was taking me all around the boat, and I remember the first time it came up right behind the back of the boat, and I saw it, and I was like, wow, I can't believe how big this thing is.
100 pounds.
And,
I can't believe it.
It looks huge compared to the boat in the back. So then I saw it, and I'm like, wow, this is a big fish. So I continued fighting it. And I think I fought it for about 15 minutes, and it, brought me all around the boat. And then finally, it came up, and we netted it. And as soon as we got it into the net, my dad was just like, wow, that's a huge fish. And I couldn't believe it either. I saw it, and I was like, it made the net look tiny. And we had a big kahuna, and those are pretty big nets.
Yeah.
And so me and my dad, we you know, we pulled it in, and, like, we were both struggling to pull it in. We couldn't believe how heavy this thing actually was. And as soon as we got into the boat, we were just standing there looking at it for a couple of seconds. We couldn't believe it. So then we took it out of the net and put it on the bump board. And we have a 60-inch bump board that my dad made out of PVC pipe. He cut the PVC pipe in half and put a tape measure in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that's what we use for musky fishing all the time. So we put the sturgeon in there, and I'd never seen a fish. Well, I'd seen a couple, but I'd never seen a fish like actually go past the bump board, past the 60-inch bump board. And I was like, wow, this is definitely
5 feet.
Fish.
More than 5 feet.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to pull out the tape line and put that against it, and it was another 10 inches, so 70 inches, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is...
How old is this fish, you guys thought?
Yeah. Hey, Boomer, hang on a second, Mike. How old is this fish, Boomer?
You know, I'm guessing, Mike, that fish has got to be 40-plus years old.
Yeah, inside the... I was reading the Outdoor News section on myself the other day, and the DNR guy that was on there, he said that it was 51 years old.
Wow.
So that's pretty crazy.
You know, for our listeners...
I can't believe that I caught a fish that was... Way, way older than I am,
Art. Way old.
You know, for our listeners who are just tuning in, when you go out there and chase these prehistoric beast sturgeon, I mean, you're using a 7 to 8 foot rod that looks like you're going offshore fishing for a mahi or
so
a shark.
So you're using like
something.
A bigger than a musky rod?
Yeah, about a musky rod, a little bigger, and it's amazing. You're probably using, what, 70, 80 pound braid?
Yeah. I think we're using 100 pound test, actually.
Wow, and
I'm not 100% sure. So, Dad, if you're listening, if I got it wrong,
don't beat the boy.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, when you're up there on the Rainy River for our listeners, and you can tell there's just a line of boats up there. When I was up there a couple weeks ago, probably a couple thousand boats, and when you see the rod bend and it's 8 foot long, you know they've got one of these prehistoric monsters on, and that fight can last 45 to 60 minutes. Mike, you talked about it took 15 minutes to surface after the first time that sturgeon surfaced. How long did it take you the first time to bring it up to the boat?
I think I only fought it for about 5 minutes. I had the drakes set pretty hard on this fish. And I was,
do they get to be about 50 years old and they just sort of tuck around a little bit?
Well, hang on a second.
He wasn't giving you much of a fight.
Because when I was talking to Mike said that he caught like a 60 pounder before that fought a hell of a lot more because maybe it's just younger and stronger. Maybe, like you said, when they get to be 50 years old, it's enough.
Hey, I'm there next year. I don't have that much fight in me.
So the smaller sturgeon fought a lot more, right?
Yeah, the one I caught last year, I thought fought a lot harder than this one that I caught this year.
Jeez. What a thrill. What a thrill.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what is your special? We only have a couple of minutes here. What do you enjoy fishing for most, and what do you enjoy hunting for most? We got 1 minute, pal.
Yeah.
Well, I think fishing for the most, I think my favorite thing to fish for is muskies. I definitely got that from my dad because he's been bringing me out ever since I was very tiny, bringing me out on the boat and chasing muskies. So that's definitely the favorite fish I like to fish for. And hunting, I think upland bird hunting is probably my favorite.
Attaboy.
No.
Attaboy. Good man.
Well, Mike
Klob, St. Francis, our guest. You're 17, 18 years old. That about right?
Yep, 18.
All right. You're working away at the Dairy Queen, spending a lot of time with Dad, getting out for all these awesome opportunities. What's the big dream? Where do you want to end up, man?
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure yet. I haven't really made my mind up what I want to do for the rest of my life yet.
Good for you. I mean, you've got a long time to even decide it. And if you knew right now, it would probably change. Just wondered if there was a long game.
That's what I've been told.
But you know you're going to be hunting and fishing your entire life.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to be hunting and fishing my entire life. And, you know, one day when I have my kids, hopefully teach them all the tricks and stuff that I learned from my dad.
You keep racking up big records like that and trophies like that. People like Boomer are going to come offering you a job one of these days, and then you're going to be doing it for a living.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
That'd be a pretty sweet job.
Hey, Mike, I know you're on a break there. Get back to you're doing more good there at Dairy Queen than you are in the air tonight, and that was a great story. But people need their soft serve, for crying out loud. What are the summer hours up there at the Dairy Queen in St. Francis? Open till 10?
Yes, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, which Dairy Queen is this? I mean, in St. Francis, there's only one, but what's the road? Is it on Central Avenue up there?
It is right off of Highway 47.
Right off of Highway 47. Stop in and say, congratulate Mike on his 100-pound sturgeon.
Next time we're driving up Highway 47, we say from the Ticket Outdoors, we get a free something, right, from you, Mike, young man?
totally.
You got it. You got it.
The South of Mine,
Hoyt Hill. You got it, Mike.
Awesome. Mike Loeb, thanks a lot, buddy. Take it easy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. That's pretty cool. I love that. Well done, Stu.
Wow.
All right, we're not done with fishing stories yet. We got the biggest of them all coming up.
Yeah.
We've got the Boomers Open Water Lake Report. It's not quite as big as next week. But we're talking crappies when we come back on Ticket Outdoors.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel. Between April 13th and May 10th, get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Farm can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/10/15. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged with equipment you may not want in places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Department stores are closing all over the country. Radio Shack is bankrupt. This weekend, $1 million of merchandise is being liquidated direct to the public. Incredible prices. Clothes, jewelry, perfume, cosmetics, even purses to 80% off department store prices. Designer jeans, $12. Shoes, $10. Bras, $5. Sheet sets, $12. Clothes and shoes to 80% off. Listen to this. Digital cameras, $19. HD camcorder, $49. HD TVs, $199. Laptop computers, $99. Android tablets, $39. Smartphones, $69. Bluetooth, $19. Housewares, cookware, blankets, comforter sets, cosmetics, lingerie, even toys and tools. Thousands of bargains, everything liquidated to the public up to 80% off. This Friday, 12 to 9. Saturday, 10 to 9. Sunday, 11 to 6 at two locations. Columbia Heights at the former Slumberland Furniture Store in Central Value Center, 4300 Central Avenue Northeast next to Ace Hardware. And in St. Paul in the Sunray Shopping Center, 2099 Old Hudson Road, former Snyder Drugs next to TJ Maxx.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Free broadcast every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock and the podcast available in the next day or two-ish on 105theticket.com. Ticket Outdoors, it's time for a lake report. We're doing open water, and I was on Ticket Outdoors Facebook page and also Boomer's Facebook page. We're buddies, and I was seeing all these pictures of these fantastic walleye, and I thought, oh, he's posting up some old pictures, getting excited for the walleye opener here in about a week and a half. And no, it was from last
weekend. No. I'll tell you what. I think it was the same walleye that Mark caught on Rainy Lake with me last year. tell us the story, my friend. Out.
These are all current photos. They snuck over.
And what were you doing when they were catching 27-inch walleyes?
I worked the entire weekend.
Well, I tell you, the moral...
At a strip club, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Work.
Well, I tell you, the moral of the story for this lake report... Before we go downhill, is never give up. So producer Mark and I, we're really blessed in this great state of Minnesota that even though walleye season opens up here on May 9th and there's, you know, a big hoopla and we're going to have some guests on next week like Tony Roach. We're going to have the gentleman that's going to be the guide for Governor Dayton where I'll be up on Lake Vermilion. We can fish walleyes up on the Canada border, that you know, the Rainy River, Lake of the Woods.
Yep.
We were up there a couple weeks ago. The border water just opened. And so Mark and I went out there to Lake Traverse, said hello to our buddy Todd at Wing and Fin, and never give up was the moral of this story. So Mark and I went to all the spots you might think they are. The water surface temp was about 58 degrees, and typically those walleyes, yeah, it's amazing.
Is that 10 degrees warmer than it was last year, you think?
For sure. Because of these warm temps, you know, 70 degrees, sunny days.
Yeah, I've been looking at temps for the year. They get the app on the phone. It shows you what the temperature was that day the year before. And we were 20, 25 degrees cooler just about every day.
Wow. Now,
we had some cooler temps this last week. But, you know, when we're getting into the 60s, we were doing 35 to 45 last year at this time. I know, hard to believe, right?
And those, you know, walleyes are typically going to start that spawning in that 45 to mid-40s, high 40s. You're going to start to see them spawning. So this time of year, you're going to pitch the shallows, right? You're going to look for them spawning. Mark and I hit every inside curve, every piece of structure. And at about the ninth spot, you know, we had caught a couple pike, and we just weren't having a lot of luck. And so we went back to one more spot, and it was starting to get to evening. And it just turned into magical. We started in a little deeper water. Instead of right next to shallows, we're in about 10 feet of water. And Mark kept saying, "Boomer, I'm marking fish. I'm marking fish." And so we were doing your typical walleye jig, jigging a minnow. We were using eighth-ounce jigs because there's a little more buoyant. They're not going to get stuck in the rocks. And all of a sudden, Mark gets this awesome hook set. Again, we were a little deeper. And Mark, what happened?
Oh, it was pretty good. First of all, Stu and I have been on many trips, and every time we hear, "It's the best fishing of your life, man." So, but we got skunked for about the first 8 hours, and then
it
was
a long
switch.
Day, isn't it?
I caught a fishing rod. You'll see that picture.
So but, you had to converse with Boomer for 8 hours?
I did.
Balls. I wasn't very social for a little bit there. I was getting frustrated.
So we caught a bunch of pike that day, and I had a good hookup, and I thought it was a pike, and Boomer's on the phone. So he goes, "You need a net." I'm like, "No, it's a pike, you know." So, but I finally cranked him up, and I saw it was a really big walleye, and I go, "Get off the phone!" And he dropped the phone, ran over.
Did you use an adjective?
Yeah, I did.
Before the phone?
He steps in the minnow bucket on the way over, destroyed half of our minnows. There's guts all over the T-Pro. Sorry,
Dan.
I'm
Benny Hill music.
Anyway, we got him up, and it was a lot of fun. It was a 27-incher, which is one of the biggest walleyes I've ever caught. That's not saying a whole lot, but
number two, yeah,
it was just incredible. And then after that, it was one after the other the rest of the night. So it was probably the most, you know, walleye action I've seen in a half hour period.
When you can end like that, and I've been out a couple of days like that. When you end like that, you don't the first 8 hours. What? Yeah, you don't even remember it.
And the best part is, we saw Steve Carney leaving as we arrived, saying there's no fish in this lake anymore. And I'm like, oh, great. We drove 3 hours.
Has Steve seen it?
Yes, Steve saw it and immediately texted me. But the moral of the story is we never gave up, and we started a little deeper. You know, we changed our presentations around. But one of the things that we found right before we got that big walleye is we started getting into some pike into this spot. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking, you know, if there's northern pike here, something for our listeners, there's a forage base. They're feeding on something, and where there's a forage base, the walleyes are eventually going to come. So we stuck it out, and Mike hit that big female, and immediately...
Who's Mike?
Mark hit that big female, right? And I immediately thought, you know what? She was full of eggs. She was fat, probably 10 pounds. It was just a matter of time till those drake and male walleyes were going to come in and start milking and spawning. And so we went right into pitching into the rocks, and it was absolutely amazing. That half-hour period, we caught a ton of 17 to 22-inch walleye. So, again, the moral of the story is don't give up. If you're starting to get into some pike, there's probably some forage base they're feeding on. Stick it out a little bit longer. The walleyes are going to come in, and they did. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, it's a special time of year before walleye opener, is crappie fishing.
Yeah.
You know, in the ice season, they start to go to these deep basins. But when the water temperature starts to flirt with 45 to 50 degrees, those crappies are going to start migrating out of those deeper spots and start to go a little shallower. When it gets to about 50 to 55 degrees, when you're looking at your graph or your GPS, those crappies are probably going to start what we call a pre-spawn. They're going to start to congregate again after moving from the deep, and they're going to start looking to where they're going to spawn. So if the water surface surface temp is 50 to 55 degrees, don't go right into those coves. You know, those favorite lakes you have like Minnetonka or Waconia around here, they're well known. And HMG's Adam Griffith was telling me he was finding them a little deeper, feeding on a forage base. But when you see that water surface temp on your graph or GPS hit that 62 mark,
yeah, right,
that means those crappies are going to be a lot more shallower. And one tip I'd give our listeners is, you know, throw some plastics. Adam was talking about this with me on the way in, is you can be a little more active with those plastics with just a minnow and a bobber, and you can kind of jig them out right out of the shallows, and you should get some crappies on the line.
No, you talked about plastics. Plastics covers a whole wide area. Tell me what you're talking about as far as plastics.
You know, multiple colors is one thing. I think that really matters when these crappies are spawning and they're hungry. The other thing is it's a plastic, you know, like a little worm looking thing. It's going to be probably an inch to an inch and a half long.
You're not talking Mr. Twisters and that kind of bait.
You can even get away with a Mr. Twister, just something small that is maybe an inch to an inch and a half that replicates one of those smaller minnows that they're getting ready to feed on in the spawn. The other thing that I love about this time of year, it's a great time to get your kids into the Alumacraft, okay? Because the fish are going to be active and they're going to be aggressive. And so if you stick a little bobber, maybe if you're fishing in 5 to 6 feet of shallow water where there's crappies are starting to spawn, put a bobber about a foot and a half to 2 feet up from where your jig's going to be, and Corey taught me this trick, and cast it into the shallows, and then just tell the kid to reel in, bobber bouncing on the top of the water is going to give
jig.
A natural jig, and they're going to have some lights out fishing potentially.
And I'll tell you, when we out in South Dakota, we love to pan fish, and we pan fish from the shores, and you're right, when the temperature would get into that 60, 65, you get a little further into spring, that's when it's good shore fishing too. Don't be scared away if you don't have the boat. That temperature starts at 60, the panfish are going to come in, and you can fish them from the shore.
You were talking about fishing with the kids and getting them excited about fishing. We have 10 grandkids right now, and Allie is our oldest grandchild, and my favorite picture, and we were fishing from the pontoon boat, Boomer.
Oh, boy.
On the Chain of Lakes in Chautauqua. Allie, one of her first fish she ever caught with us, was so cute. She reels it, she's all excited, and she snagged it in the belly. And there's a picture of her. She's smiling with the fish upside down. It is so damn cute. It is on my wall right now. It's just getting kids excited about fishing.
Now, Boomer, you're saying that the crappies might be coming 5 to 6 feet of water.
Yep.
What kind of areas are you looking for if you're out on a lake? I mean, is it by a bay? Is it off the points? What kind of areas should I be looking for?
That's a good question,
I'm looking for coves. I'm looking for coves, Mike, Marky. I'm looking for coves, and I'm looking for little bays. And I'm looking for the edge of weed lines is where I'm going to be pitching that jig. And if you get there and you're not catching them, just don't jump and go to the next bay or the cove. Move out to the first break, because even though your water surface temp on your GPS or graph might be saying it's 62 degrees, maybe it's a little chillier down deeper and they're on that first break in that 50 to 55 degree water. And so you can catch those crappies starting to congregate before they get into actual spawning.
While I'm on the mic, I just want to thank Steve at Wheaton Service. I know he listens, and thanks for being a part of our show while we were down there. Got to see him.
Yeah, Steve, thank you for all that support you gave us and the tips and the great minnows. Another quick tip, when you see those male crappies, and you know how you see those crappies that are really black and dark in color and just beautiful?
Yeah.
That is a trigger inside the fish that tells them they're within spawning season. So if you catch a couple of those crappies right away and you see they're really dark, that means they're in full spawning mood, and you got about 3 to 5 days to take advantage of that weed bed shallow
bite. This is like going to school,
bite.
Man. This guy knows his stuff.
Well, next week we've got the Big Lake Report before the opener.
Yes, with Tony Roach, and we're going to have the guide who's going to be taking the governor out on Lake Vermilion. His name is Buck. His nickname is Buck, and we'll have more on him on next show.
And a lovely PR gal.
Oh, yes, we're going to have Alyssa from Minnesota Tourism on as well.
Hey, now, one more thank you to Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, Custom Truck Accessories, the podcast available at 105theticket.com. Check back in a day or two or listen back in Sunday mornings right here on this frequency at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 8. Thanks, Ticket Outdoors.
Get hauling with a Big Max trailer from Mills Fleet Farm. The 4x8 wood-sided utility trailer is $599.99.
Building a fence or deck? Use Pro Wood Treated Lumber. It's preferred by contractors and is on sale. Carlisle Radio Trail RH trailer tires are heat resistant and have a long tread life. They're 10% off. And power up your DeWalt tools with the DeWalt 18-volt XRP battery twin pack. $99 at Mills Fleet Farm. Love it.